The following is a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. At Haven Heights, we believe that faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. As you listen to the sermon, we pray the Lord would use the preaching of His Word to point you to Jesus and to strengthen your faith in Him. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook.
According to the most recent census, 43% of those who live in Fulton County describe themselves as non-religious. 43% of our neighbors, 19,000 people, say they do not identify with the things of God. These are the statistics. But it's more than statistics, right? It's real people whom we know who we must reach. This year at Haven Heights, 2026, our focus is going to be on reaching our neighbors who do not know Jesus Christ. In 2026, our plan is very simple. This year, our plan is for each person to consider one person we know who doesn't know Jesus Christ, for each of us, for every person here, to pick one person who doesn't know Jesus Christ, and then to commit to sharing the good news of Jesus with that person. This year, we're calling it, Who's Your One? And you've already seen that slide this morning. Who's Your One? Who is the one person that you know doesn't know Jesus Christ? Who is that one person? And will you commit to telling that person about Jesus Christ? Now that's a challenge, right? It's hard to tell people about Jesus Christ, and many times it feels scary and it feels daunting, and we think, I don't know if I can do that. And we think, you know, that may get pretty awkward, and they may get upset, and it may get weird, and I don't know if that's a good idea for someone like me to tell them. Well, if you're already thinking that this morning, you are not alone. Jonah felt like that. Remember Jonah in the Bible, Jonah and the fish? Jonah feels like this, and Jonah thinks, I don't know if I'm up to the task. I don't know if I can tell people about God. And so for the next month, we're going to look at this story of Jonah. And here's what we're going to see. God asked Jonah to tell others about Jesus Christ. And Jonah says, I don't think I can do that, so I'm not going to do that. Jonah says they may get angry, and they may hate me, and it may get weird, and so no, I'm not going to do that. Jonah says, no, I'm not going to tell others about God. And so how does God respond to that? God graciously shows Jonah that he can do it, that he can tell others about God. And then Jonah goes and does that. He tells other people about God, and he watches some 120,000 people come to believe in God. This morning, every person here knows that our neighbors need to hear about Jesus, and every person here knows that God is asking us to do that, and every person here says, that seems hard, and we're thinking, I can't do that. And so we need God to change us. And God will do that through His Word. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, and we'll be in the first 16 verses this morning. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up, call upon your God, maybe he will take notice of us that we will not perish." Then all the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell to Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who's responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he'd already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. For I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. For those taking notes, we begin with the big idea. The big idea is this: a call that can't be refused. Number one, we may try to refuse. Number two, God won't let us refuse. We may try to refuse God's call. The call comes, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it." God tells Jonah, "I want you to go to Nineveh and preach. Go to the great city, the godless city, and preach against it. Tell them that they are sinning. Tell them there will be judgment, but also tell them that God is gracious. And if they turn away from their sins, and if they turn towards God, they will be spared from the coming judgment they deserve." That's the call to Jonah. Go to the people of Nineveh, tell them to stop sinning and to start serving the Lord. Jonah hears the call, and then Jonah refuses the call. Look at verse 3. Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. If we were to look at a map, Jonah is right here. He's in Israel. And God says, "I want you to go east. I want you to go over here to Nineveh." And Jonah goes over here to Tarshish. Jonah goes exactly the opposite direction that God says to go. Jonah's here. God says, "I want you to go over here." And Jonah says, "I don't think so. I'm going to go over here." So it's not a mild rebuff. It's a complete refusal. So why? Why does Jonah so adamantly, so intentionally refuse the call of the Lord? If we look at the text, I think there are four reasons that Jonah refuses and four reasons that any one of us refuse the call of the Lord. Four reasons to refuse the call of God. Reason number one, I've already done my time. Look at verse 1. Jonah is a son of Amittai. We actually read of Jonah one other place in the Bible, and it's 2 Kings chapter 4. And we read in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 23 through 27, we read that Jonah is a great prophet. Now, not a great prophet among the Ninevites. Jonah is a great prophet among the Israelites. A great prophet among his own people. Sometimes we read the book of Jonah and we think that Jonah is just some random guy. Just some random guy hanging out in the desert that God calls upon and says, "I want you to go to Nineveh." Jonah is no ordinary guy at all. Jonah is a prophet. He is like a conference speaker of our day. Jonah is a name that people would have known. Jonah is the guy who speaks with power. And Jonah is the guy who sees results. God tells Jonah, "I have a new assignment for you. Go to Nineveh and preach there." And Jonah says, "I've already done my time. I've done great things for you." Jonah's going to go into retirement. Number two, Jonah says, "You know, the Ninevites, they're not like me. They're not like me." Jonah says, "You know, these Ninevites, they're a different race. They live in a different place and they have a different base. Race, they don't look like me. Place, they have a completely different culture. And base, we're not even on the same page. We have different believes. Jonah says they're different. And because they're different, they're not going to understand me, and I'm not going to understand them, and they might hate me, and they might even kill me, go to Nineveh. I don't think so. Reason number three, Jonah is self-righteous. Jonah's a Jew, and the Ninevites are pagans. And from time to time, the Ninevites attack the Jews, and they attack the Jews because they hate the Jews, and they hate the Jews because they don't believe in the God of the Jews. Jonah says, I'm a Jew. I serve God, therefore I'm right with God. They're pagans. They hate God. They deserve what's coming from God. For Jonah, it's simple math. I'm good. They're bad. It's never going to change. Reason number four, Jonah thinks, I can't make a difference. Jonah knows the size of Nineveh. Nineveh takes 3 days to walk from end to end. It's a city of over 120,000 people. Jonah says, I'm one person. How can I possibly make a difference there? Far from any influence I'm going to have on them, they're just going to gang up on me and overrun me. It's never going to work. The call comes, go to Nineveh, tell them about God, and Jonah says, I will give you four reasons why that's never going to work. This morning, God's call has come to us. That's how we began our service. It was our call to worship, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That call to us is as equally clear as it was to Jonah. Go and tell. Go to these people and tell them about Jesus Christ. That's the call. And this morning, each of us can find a reason to refuse. Some of us will be tempted to say, I've already done my time. I've been a Christian for 40, 50, 60 years. I've even served the church for 40, 50, 60 years. I've served faithfully for decades. I've led others to faith in Christ. It is time for a new generation to take up the call. I'm done. Some of us will be tempted to say, you know, my neighbors aren't like me. Because they're not like me, I can't talk to them. I have trouble just talking to them about the weather. Like, how am I going to talk to them about Christ? We are just so different. Some of us will be tempted to say, I'm just better than those around me. You know, it's pretty impossible to live in Northwest Ohio and not to know something about church, not to know something about Jesus Christ. And if those people, if they haven't responded to that, if they don't want to come to church, if they don't want to know anything about Jesus Christ, and I can't help with that. If they're not already here, it's because they've already made their bed, they're bad. And who am I to change anyone? And then number four, others of us will say, I'm only one person. I don't even have a Bible degree. I don't speak in public. I don't preach. God can't use someone like me. The call is clear. Go and tell others about Jesus Christ. And each and every one of us will find a reason, if we let it, to refuse the call. But number two, God won't let us refuse. Jonah tried to refuse, and God refused his refusal. Look at verse 4. Jonah's running from God, and so God sends the storm to stop him. Now, when we read that God sends the storm to stop Jonah dead in his tracks, we read that, and we think, you know, that's pretty heavy. That's pretty harsh. That feels like wrath. But what I want us to see is that if we really look at it, we will see just how gracious the storm is. And here's what we're going to see. God uses the storm to address all four of Jonah's refusals. Refusal number one, I've already done my time. The storm comes, the boat's in turmoil, it's tossed by the wind and the waves, and the situation is dire, and so the captain comes to Jonah, this is verse 6, How can you sleep, get up and call upon your God? Maybe he'll take notice of us and we will not perish. Jonah says, I've already done my time. I've already preached for decades. It's time for someone else to do something around here. That's Jonah's thinking, to which the captain says plain as day, we need you. We need your God. Remember, Jonah thinks, I've already done my time. The captain says, we need you, and we need your God. One of the things about being a pastor is always on call. And sometimes the call comes from people outside the church. And when a call comes from someone outside the church, it's always for the same reason. It's because they are in a storm of life. And because the storm of life has come upon them, they want to talk about the things of God. And when they call, sometimes there's a little voice that says, you've already done your time. You've already preached that sermon. You've already taught that Sunday school class. You've already worked hard for the things of God. And they weren't there. And if they didn't come, if they haven't listened to the website, maybe it's a job for another person. And when that little voice comes, I have to rebuke it. Because unbelievers never come to us on our terms. Mark it down. An unbeliever will never come to you on your terms. And so that's the call. Go to them. Go to the people who need our God. That's what the captain says. We need you because we need your God. God shows Jonah, you can't rest on your past work. The lost need you. And they need you now. And they need you now to show them God. And this morning, I can promise you this. There are people in your sphere that you don't even know who are watching. And they are watching to see what you do with God. And when their storm comes, you will be the person they call because they realize, I need your God. And when that call comes, we must go because no one else can answer that call but us. Refusal number two. Jonah says, they're not like me. Jonah says, I can't go to Nineveh because they're not like me and we have nothing in common. The storm comes and the sailors, verse 7, they cast lots to see who's responsible. The lot falls to Jonah and Jonah's like, well, no surprise there. Of course this storm came because of me. Jonah says, verse 8, I'm a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven and earth who made the land and the sea. Jonah says in so many words, I'm the only person here who thinks about God. That's what Jonah says. Jonah says, I'm the only person here who thinks about God. How often do we think the same thing? Even as we gather this morning and we see the empty seats, and we think, you know, those other people, they're wherever, doing whatever, and we're the ones. We're the only ones who think about God. But nothing could be further from the truth. Look at what the sailors are doing. Verse 5, the sailors are crying out to their own God. And God shows Jonah that people, all people are the same in this regard. All people are deeply religious. It's been said that there's no atheist in a foxhole. When the chips are down, every person is the same. Every person calls out to God. Prominent atheist once told his family, when I begin to die, I may call out to God, but rest assured, I'm not really calling out to God because it's only going to be the medicine or the fear. Even the atheists recognize when the storm rages, his instinct will be to call upon God. God brings Jonah to the point where he sees that everyone believes in God. Everyone's religious. It's just not everyone knows the one true God. God wants Jonah to see, God wants us to see, the task isn't nearly as hard as we think. Task isn't as hard as we think. Our neighbors are already religious. They already believe in a God of some kind. It could be money, it could be power, it could be sex, but they're already looking to something that's going to satisfy them, that's going to bring balm to their soul. They're already looking for that. And God says, all you got to do is point them to the one true God, the God they're looking for and they don't even know. Refusal number three, Jonah thought he was better than they were. Look at verse 5, Jonah's asleep. This is the strangest part of the whole passage, right? The sailors are scared for their life, and Jonah's sleeping his life away. And Jonah is asleep in the middle of this storm, and Jonah somehow doesn't even know that there is a storm. It was the last night of our cruise. We were in Cozumel, and we were headed back to Miami. And between us and Miami was a storm. And because we needed to get back to port by the morning, the storm was unavoidable. And so the captain came over to the PA system, and he said, there's a storm, and we're going to try to go around the storm. But as we go around the storm, we're going to probably hit the edge of it, and it's going to be a little bit rocky. So later that evening, sure enough, we hit the edge of the storm, and the ship starts to rock and to roll, and not like the videos you've seen. It wasn't dramatic in any way, but it was enough that all I wanted was Dramamine and sleep. So I take the Dramamine, I lay down, but the nausea, the sleep never came. Jonah's not on the edge of the storm. He's in the middle of the storm. No Dramamine, and yet no nausea. Fast asleep. And so we ask, how can Jonah sleep in a storm like that? Jonah is asleep in the storm because Jonah is so focused on running away from God that he shuts everything out. He's so focused on running away from God that he just shuts everything out. All he can think about is freedom. How can I get away from the commands of God? How can I do what I want to do? He's so focused on his goals, his desires, that he doesn't even realize that the Lord is after him. That's the essence of what it means to be an unbeliever. How do I get away from the commands of God? How can I just do what I want to do? How can I accomplish my goals and my desires? I'm so focused on that to the exclusion of everything else that I don't even realize that the Lord is after me. God brings Jonah to the place where Jonah sees, I am no different than them. I am just like an unbeliever, so focused on me that I don't even see that the Lord is after me. Refusal number four, Jonah thinks, God can't use me. There's only one way to stop the storm, and that's to throw Jonah into the sea. They throw Jonah overboard, and the sea is instantly calm. Look at verse 16. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows to him. In verse 16, the unbelievers become believers. Jonah simply said one thing. He said, I believe in the one true God. That's it. He says, I believe in the one true God, and the unbelievers become believers. And the unbelievers become believers when Jonah isn't even trying. It was at the end of a missions trip, and the local man asked the missionary, why did all of you white people come to our country? And the missionary was exhausted. And so the missionary said half-heartedly, we're Christians. We're telling people that Jesus came from heaven, that he died for our sins, that he was raised on the third day. And he hands him a tract and says, it's all in here. And the local man said, I want to follow your God. The local man became a believer when the missionary wasn't even trying. The lesson from the missionary is the same as the lesson from Jonah. If God can use a small and half-hearted measure, how much more can he use those of us who are devoted to his call? We end with this. God changed the sailors. The unbelievers became believers. They went from pagan to God-fearing. And just as importantly as God changing the sailors, God changed Jonah. In the beginning, Jonah cares nothing about anyone else. Jonah knew that people of Nineveh were lost. He knew that they needed God. He knew that they needed someone to go and tell them about God. And Jonah says, I don't really care. I don't care what happens to the people of Nineveh. I'm not going to go and do that. But then God changed him. And we see the change in verse 12. Jonah says, throw me into the sea and you'll be spared. If I go in, you will live. For the first time in the passage, Jonah is thinking about someone else. That's the change. For the first time, Jonah has real compassion and care for someone other than himself. Jonah has no idea what's going to happen to him when he's thrown into the sea. But he has a pretty good idea what's going to happen to them. He knows that when he's thrown into the sea will stop and they will become believers. He knows what's going to happen to them, even though he has no idea what's going to happen to himself. Jonah doesn't know if he's going to be drowned. He doesn't know if somehow he's going to be able to swim to land. And I can promise you, he never expects a fish to swallow him. And yet, despite not knowing what's going to happen to him, he says, throw me in, because that's going to be good for you. Throw me in, because that will be good for you. And with that, Jonah becomes a person of grace. He becomes a person who gives of himself for the good of the unbelievers. Let's pray together. Father God, we pray that you would change us just as you changed Jonah, that you would change us to become people of grace. Father, we pray that we would literally be willing to be thrown in, that we would tell others about Jesus Christ, not knowing what will happen to us, not knowing if things will get awkward or if we'll be mocked or even if we'll be hated. And yet people who are willing to be thrown in because that's what's best for others. Father, we pray that you would make us like Jesus, who was thrown into this world only to be killed because it brought us salvation.
You've been listening to a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. If you're looking for a church home, we invite you to join us. We gather on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook.